Good morning. What a week. On Monday, we went to Bemidji, and all day Tuesday, we spent being guest grandparents at two of our children's school. Came home just in time to sit down and study God's Word with a great bunch of guys up in the coffee shop. The next day, I got to sit around a big circle with some wonderful teenagers and hear them talk about their faith in Christ and their willingness to proclaim that publicly. And then on Thursday, I got the privilege to, along with some of you, minister to a family in their grieving as they remembered a lost loved one. And then last night, there was a wedding here. So there was celebration going on. During the week, I spent time with two couples, doing pre-marriage sessions with them. Two couples that love the Lord Jesus, and I'm so excited about them getting married because their weddings and their marriages are going to make a difference. And then there was a fire. That was exciting. And today is Mother's Day. And this afternoon, we're going to see my mom, and I'm going to work all day for her tomorrow because her love language is acts of service. And so I'm going to love her by working for her. And we're starting a new series. That's all 1 week. That's some people's lifetime. So if you would take your Bibles and have them ready. Take your study sheets. Have them ready. We are going to start our next series. The song that we sang before I come up here was a declaration of what we believe. In other words, it was declaring our theology. Theology is a big word that means God words. Theos, God. Logos, words. So theology is the truth about God, His character, His works, His ways, His teachings, His will. That's theology. And the series that we're going to be getting into today is called A Family Shaped by Theology. Don't let that scare you. All that means is a family shaped by the truths about God, who He is, what He does, His will, His plans, His purposes. A family shaped by that. What is your family being shaped by? I want you to think of that. If your family is that bowl that is being shaped, what is shaping it? Is it theology? Is it the truth about God from His Word? Or is something else shaping your family? Shaping your marriage? That's what we're going to talk about. I want to give you a preview. This will either keep you coming or keep you home. Today we're going to introduce the series. The message today is because God is creator of the family and has a design for it, we need to follow that game plan. Next Sunday, the message will be because God is holy, we need to take out the garbage. You'll want to come back and find out what that's all about. On the 22nd, the message will be, because God, by His providence, is always working, we need to take time to enjoy the gardens. On the 29th, the message will be, because God is a God of grace and mercy, we need to recycle the gifts. Some of you are good at that. Recycling gifts. And we will wrap up on June 5th, with a message that says, because God is always in the present and is worthy of our obedience, we need to clean the garage. Now, you've probably noticed some alliteration there, G's in each one. And you'll want to come out and find out exactly what it is we're talking about. But you also may have noticed a pattern there. Each week, we are going to talk about something that's true of God. Something about His character, something about His work, His purposes. And the point is, if we believe that about God, then that theology should be what shapes our marriage and shapes our family. That's kind of the big picture of where we're going in this series. Today, we're going to talk about following the game plan. Let's pray. Father, guide us as we head into this series. It's so important, Lord. We are so committed to family and marriage here, and we just desire, Lord, that You would make Yourself and Your truth so real these weeks, and that we would be listening, no matter what role we play in our family, that we would be listening and that we would pay attention to what You have to say. Father, I just pray that by the time we're done with this series, there will be more families in this place willing to shape their family by theology and nothing else, by what they believe about You and what's true of You, Your will, Your purpose. Make that happen, God. We ask You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, since it's Mother's Day, I want to talk about football and the Green Bay Packers. Up until 1959, Green Bay was known as the Siberia of the National Football League. And then along came a man with the right playbook. Prior to 1959, whenever a football player was traded to Green Bay, you could count on their wives breaking out in tears. Up to that point, Green Bay had a reputation for losing. They were considered losers. Anytime a player was sent to Green Bay, he considered it a death sentence. That was it for his career. After the 1958 season, where the Packers were 1-10-1, they hired a new coach, and his name was Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi came to Green Bay in 1959 with his playbook, and he convinced the players to begin to follow the game plan that he had put together in that playbook. And you know the rest of the story. Eventually, the Green Bay Packers became winners. And Green Bay became known as what? Title Town, USA. But it wasn't always that way. The turning point was when the man who knew how to play football and win came with his playbook, and the team began to follow the game plan in that book. God has a playbook. We call it the Bible. Many of you are holding it in your hand right now. This is God's playbook, and in this book is His game plan for life. His game plan. Now, in this book, we will find what can be called a macro plan. What I mean by macro plan is it's God's ultimate purpose for everybody in all situations. And what this playbook says is that God's macro plan is that in everything he be glorified. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That's the macro plan. It's universal, no matter what part of life it happens to be. The macro plan of God, according to this, is that he receives the glory. That he's glorified. And then, in this playbook, we have a game plan, and we'll call them micro plans. We have game plans for every situation in life, every part of life that we experience. And this book tells us how to fulfill the macro plan. Are you following here now? This book tells us how to follow the macro plan, bringing glory to God in everything, in each individual situation in life, including, guess what? Family and marriage. The macro plan of God, His purpose is to bring Him glory, and He has given us a game plan as to how we as husbands, wives, children, parents can do that in our families. There's a game plan for the family. And that game plan is shaped by theology. It's all about who God is. It's all about His work. It's all about His plan. It's all about His will. It's all about His ways. It's all about His design. And when we take His game plan for the family from His playbook, and whatever our role is, we find what that is in the family and we follow that, our family will be shaped into the kind of family God designed from the beginning. He's the creator of marriage. He's the creator of family. He put together the design, the playbook, the game plan for family. And when we decide to shape our family by that, our family could possibly become Titletown, USA. The family God intended. But those of you who have played football, you know that not everybody follows the game plan. Not everybody carries out their role that's in the playbook. They start doing their own thing, right? And it doesn't work. When everybody's doing their own thing, instead of following the game plan. And it's the same with families. So what I want to do this morning to get us started is just kind of give you a sample of this whole principle, this whole idea that I'm trying to present these weeks. So now you need your Bibles, and we're going to do 8 scriptures in 8 minutes. Please don't tie me. I just said that. I don't know if it's going to be 8 minutes, but it sounds good, doesn't it? 8 scriptures in 8 minutes. We are going to go through them quickly because I'm just going to point out to you this picture that I'm trying to paint. This idea of God's plan for marriage and family being based on theology. Who God is. The truth about Him. His work. His will. His ways. So, let's start, of course, in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. First teaching on marriage in the Bible. Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The first teaching, and I tell you, I've gone over this many times in the last months. I'm doing premarital counseling with 4 or 5 couples, so I know this pretty well. The first teaching in Scripture about marriage is that there is to be a leaving, a change in relationship with the parents. You hear that, parents? There needs to be a change in relationship with the parents, a leaving. And on their side, a letting go, right? There needs to be a bond, a gluing together, cleaving. And there needs to be a physical coming together, one flesh, becoming one flesh. First teaching, what's it based on? Well, notice chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. I only see two there. Do you? Male and female He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. What's the reason for leaving the parents, changing that relationship, being bonded to this one person and becoming one physically, one flesh? It's because God created that man and God created that woman. And God brought them together. He created marriage. And God gave them instructions to reproduce and fill the earth. Those instructions are tied in with theology. It's about who God is. He's the Creator. It's about what He has done. He has instructed husband and wife to reproduce, to bond, to become one physically, to change that relationship with the parents. Theology is behind that. That's the reason we do what verse 24 tells us to do. Because God created us, He created marriage, and He instructs us to do these things. Turn with me to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, teaching on marriage here. Verse 14, Malachi chapter 2. It's because the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you've broken faith with her, though she's your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They're His. And why one? Because He was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And He ends, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Very, very clear here. The teaching is, don't break faith. Don't walk out on your marriage. Don't violate the commitment you made, the covenant. Why? Theology. It has to do with God. What does the text say? He united you. You made the covenant with each other, but with Him as well. And He hates divorce. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, do not separate what God has joined together. See, it's about God. It's about something He's done. It's theology. That's what's behind this teaching. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we have that lengthy passage on marriage. Starting in verse 22, as you know, the wives are instructed to respect and follow the leadership of their husbands. The husbands are instructed to be the leaders and to be loving leaders. What's behind that teaching? Theology. As you're aware of, in that passage, it says many times, as to the Lord. Love her as Christ loves the church. As Christ, as Christ. You see, what's behind those teachings is theology. Something that is true about God. Something that has to do with His plan, His design, His ways, His truth. In fact, you learn in this passage that God has paralleled marriage to the relationship between Jesus and the church. It's about theology. It's about the truths of God, who He is, His ways, His plans. First Peter chapter 3. For those of you still thinking you should watch your clock, I'm gaining, aren't I? Less than a minute on the last two. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It begins to talk about the wives and then the husbands in verse 7. Again, the wives are instructed to follow the leadership of their husbands, to have this pure and respectful behavior toward their husbands, and to focus on the inner beauty, not so much the outward beauty. In verse 7, the husbands are instructed to live with their wives in a considerate way, to realize they're different, they're more fragile, they're valuable, and then to live with them in a respectful way because they're equal, they're fellow heirs of the gracious gift of life. Now why? What's that about? It's about theology, right? He says the women should focus on developing inner beauty because inner beauty is what's precious to who? God. It's about God. That's theology. And he says in verse 7 that husbands should live in that considerate, respectful way with their wives. Why? What's the last phrase? It has to do with your prayer life. It has to do with your relationship with God. Your prayers will be hindered if you don't. That's theology. It has to do with God. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Okay, kids, listen up. We're coming to your role in the game plan. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you. There's the game plan, kids. That's your role. Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Why? It's about theology. It's about God. You see what he says? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It has to do with God. It goes on to say he gives a promise. There's a promise from God to children who obey and honor their parents. This is about theology. This is about God. This is about who he is. This is about his plan. It's about his purpose, his design, his way. It's about theology. That's why those instructions. Ephesians 6:4, parents, do not exasperate or provoke your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Theology. Take a look at Deuteronomy 6 in the Old Testament. I'm doing so well, I can go to 2 on this one. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Again, instructing parents, their role in the family. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts, the parents' hearts. Impress them, these words, on your children. And then it goes through how you should do it in every part of life, when you're walking, sitting at the table, whatever. So teach your children. But both Paul and Moses link the instruction to teach your children to what? Theology. You teach and discipline them in the Lord. And here, it's part of you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and having His words on your heart. And with that context, you teach them. So the whole thing about teaching our kids in Scripture is linked with theology. It has to do with God and our relationship with Him and loving Him and His will and His plan. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Wonderful statement about the home, about family. And this isn't the first time you've heard me mention this, but verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built. and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. What's the key to establishing a home and filling it with beautiful treasures? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now go back to chapter 2. If the key to a home is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, where do we get that? Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Those three things are the key to a home. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And they are connected with theology because those three things come from God. He's the source. That's where you get it. You see, all these teachings about the home and about marriage are connected with theology. Truths about God, who He is, what His plan is, what His desire is, what His purpose is, the work He does and wants to do. All of these teachings about the family and home are tied in with theology. Are we shaping our families by theology? Is that how we're doing family? Are we following the game plan? Finally, Joshua 24. Joshua 24, as this book ends, you know the story is of Joshua leading the people of Israel into the promised land, conquering the land, helping them get settled in their different parts of the land. And then Joshua gives kind of his farewell address. He challenges the people and he makes a statement about family, his family. And he says in verse 15, and if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, but as for me and my household, and this is the man speaking, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Theology. Joshua says, you have to make your choice. And notice, it's about theology. It's about gods. What gods will your family serve? It's all about theology. And he gives them options. This God, it could be this God, it could be these gods. It's about theology. But he says, I've made my choice for my family. And the direction I will take my family is that we will serve Jehovah, that God. Theology, it's about God. And here's a man taking his stand and saying, this is the direction I'm taking my family. This is the God we will serve. He's going to shape his family with theology. Truths about God, who He is, what He does, what He wants, His plan, His purposes. So, I don't know if that was 8 minutes or not. God created marriage. No doubt. It was His idea. God created the family. Multiply. No doubt. It was His idea. The family. He's the creator. And there's no doubt that He has a design for the marriage. It's all over. There's no doubt He has a design for family. He has a plan. It's in here. So I suggest to you that we need to shape our families by that game plan. By theology. It's not about what the world says. It's not about what the famous authors write. It's not about how your neighbor is doing it. It's the plan of the Creator of marriage and family. And He's given us a playbook, and He's laid out the game plan. Is that what's shaping your home? Is that what's forming your marriage? Theology. The truth of God. If this is going to happen, you may have noticed a little difference in me today. I'm moving a little faster. Okay? It's because I know what's coming and I'm excited. Okay? I know what's coming in the next 3 minutes. And I wanted to get to that real quick. All right? If this is going to happen, if our families are going to be shaped by theology, by the truth of God, and what He teaches, who He is, what He does, His purpose, His will. If our families are going to be shaped by theology, who do you think will need to set the pace in seeing that that happens? Look in the mirror, gentlemen. It's you. It's me. Praise God for women who understand this and want to shape the family by theology. Praise God for teenagers who come to youth group but get no support at home, who would love to shape their family, if they could, by theology and the truth of God. But men, if it's going to happen the way God intended, then the ones that have to set the pace in shaping the family by theology is you and I. We're the leaders, right? We need to set the pace. If this series in these next weeks are going to become reality in our homes, the things we learn, and are going to impact our marriages and impact our families by the end of the next 4 weeks, it's going to call for someone to step up. Some of you men have heard that phrase. It's going to call on someone to step up. And I believe it's us men. We need to learn how to shape our families and marriages by theology, by the truth of God. And we're the ones that need to take our families in that direction, just like Joshua. I don't care what other families decide. I don't care what other men decide. I am going to direct my family in the direction of God's design, His game plan for my family and my marriage. We need men who will step up and say that. I'm guessing, but I think that could be one of the best Mother's Day gifts you could give your wife and the mother of your children. To step up and be the one that takes your family the direction of shaping that family by theology, the truth of God. Any men on board? We'll find out because I'm going to ask you to come on board. In a little while, I'm going to have some men who decide it's time to step up, make a declaration with me publicly. And this is what we're going to declare. Listen, because I don't want you to declare this unless you want to declare this. On this day, I stand before God as one of His men, saved by grace and called to be the leader in my marriage and in my family. I declare my commitment to lead according to God's playbook, the Bible. I will seek to know God and His Word in such a way that His character, His truth, and His purposes will shape our home for His glory. These are not just words. This is my heart's desire and my firm conviction. Let it be, O Lord. We're going to put those words up on the screen. And I haven't gone on and on and on, because I believe sometimes God has already prepared people ahead of time. And that might be you, gentlemen. But if you are willing with me to make this declaration on this Mother's Day, that you will step up and you will take the lead in your home and marriage to shape that marriage and that home by theology, by the truths of God, I invite you to stand with me right now. Just stand up, and we are going to read together out loud this declaration. Let's read it together. On this day, I stand before God as one of His men, saved by grace and called to be the leader in my marriage and in my family. I declare my commitment to lead according to God's playbook, the Bible. I will seek to know God and His Word in such a way that His character, His truth, and His purposes will shape our home for His glory. These are not just words. This is my heart's desire and my firm conviction. Let it be, O Lord. You know, gentlemen, when you were married, you did it publicly, didn't you? You came forward somewhere and before witnesses, you declared your commitment to that woman. Some of you, when you had your children, chose to dedicate your children and yourselves to the Lord. And in doing that, you chose to do it publicly, and you came forward, and before witnesses, you made that commitment. This is no less important. You men who have just made this declaration, I invite you to come forward and stand with me, and we're going to pray for each other that we will go, and these will not just be words, but that we will take the lead in shaping our families by theology, the truths of God. We have men coming from upstairs, so they're important. We're going to give them time. Do you remember what I said last week? When I said, I believe God is on the move in our church. Here it is. If this is real, can you imagine? Let me pray for you guys. Father, thank you. Thank you for creating marriage. Thank you for creating that wonderful institution. Thank you for creating the family. What a wonderful idea you had, Lord. Thank you. And thank you for giving us your design, your game plan that works in your word. And finally, thank you for these men who have declared before this congregation that they are willing to take their homes and their marriages the direction of your truth, and to do it your way, and to seek you, and to get to know you better, and get to know your word better, so that they can play their part in helping to shape their homes by theology, by your truths. And so, God, I pray for these guys and for myself. We need your help. We can't do this on our own. For some of us, this is so foreign. It's so new. It's so uncomfortable. But God, we've made the statement publicly. We've come forward publicly. And now we ask you, help us by the power of your Spirit in us to live out this commitment. And may it bring glory. May that macro plan come to pass in our families, in our church, in our communities, because of these men and what you will do through their lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Hug a man this morning. Oh, this is great. This is great.
It would have been ideal.
Yeah. You're dismissed.